From The Recount, I'm Rena Ninen, and you're listening to The Recount Daily Pod. Today's Wednesday, September 29th.
There's really a concern among Democrats that these companies have been far too hands-off and that the effect of that has been harm on society and democratic institutions.
That was Kat Zakreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post. Kat joined us to talk about the push on Capitol Hill to start reining in big tech. We'll dig into that a little later on, but first, your morning headlines. We begin in Washington, D.C., where Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told Congress that unless they address the debt ceiling, U.S. Treasury will exhaust its resources by October 18th.
At that point, we expect Treasury would be left with very limited resources that would be depleted quickly. America would default for the first time in history.
This comes after Republicans blocked bills on Monday and Tuesday that would have suspended the debt ceiling and prevented a looming government shutdown. On Tuesday, Republicans said that they would support a standalone measure to extend government funding, but they would not raise the borrowing limit. If nothing gets passed by Thursday at midnight, the government will partially shut down. Next to COVID, Pfizer announced that they've submitted vaccine data for children 5 to 11 to the Food and Drug Administration. The drug maker went on to say that their vaccine is safe in children. The FDA said that it will review the data as soon as possible. If approved, this will open the door for over 28 million children to get vaccinated. Moderna and Johnson & Johnson plan to submit their data soon. In New York State, a vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers that went into effect on Monday appears to have successfully pressured thousands to get a shot over the weekend. The vaccine rate for nursing home workers was just 84% last week. By Monday night, it was 92%. In New York City, just a week ago, more than 8,000 workers were still not vaccinated. But by Monday, that number was down to 5,000. Although the unvaccinated won't be allowed to work, city officials believe that they can manage with a smaller shortage. Finally, we end on Capitol Hill, where General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and General Kenneth McKenzie, head of U.S. Central Command, testified in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee. There were three key things to know from that testimony. One, General Milley acknowledged he spoke with Bob Woodruff for his recent book, Peril. He went on to emphasize that any calls he made with China after the January 6th insurrection were cleared at the highest levels by the Defense Department. Second, Generals McKenzie and Milley testified they both recommended keeping 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. This is in direct contradiction to what President Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos on ABC August 19th. The White House responded by saying that the military's advice was split at the time, but the consensus was that keeping troops in country meant an escalation to the deal made by the previous administration. And the third, General Milley called former President Trump's Taliban deal a failure, negatively impacting the morale of the Afghan security forces. Milley added that the Taliban also failed to live up to its end of the agreement, except for one thing. It did not attack any U.S. forces. And now to our daily deep dive. Big tech wields enormous power in today's global economy, with billions in profit and billions of users. Social media platforms, as a subset of big tech, also wield significant power over our political and cultural conversation. Who should I vote for? Should I get vaccinated? Even shaping things like a teenage girl's body image. Should that power be more tightly regulated? And if so, how? Kat Zakreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post, joins us to share her insights. Kat, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So, Kat, Democrats say big tech is anti-competitive and unfair in ways that harm the consumer. They say the rules governing them need to be updated. But what are the kinds of policy areas lawmakers are eyeing, and what impact could this have?
So, because of that focus on tech's power and competition, one of the biggest issues in Washington right now is antitrust policy and whether the existing antitrust laws can be enforced against these tech companies to bring them to account. In recent months, we've seen both the Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice bring historic antitrust lawsuits against Facebook and Google. And recently, Biden has nominated several people, including FTC Chair Lina Khan, to lead these agencies who have a really aggressive view of antitrust enforcement. And so there's a growing tsunami of pressure in Washington to address this alleged anti-competitive behavior by the tech companies. And, you know, we're seeing this kind of move in two tracks. I just mentioned there's the lawsuits that are happening at the agencies. And at the same time, there's a big debate in Congress about whether, you know, existing antitrust laws are equipped to dealing with these companies. And there's been a bipartisan push to pass legislation to better rein these companies in.
So free speech has long been a thorny issue with regards to regulating social media. Got Democrats and Republicans, they're standing on opposite sides of the aisle on this issue. How do you think their philosophies differ? What can Congress or the White House do to protect the consumer from misinformation or disinformation?
This has become a really heated issue in the aftermath of the January 6th insurrection and also during the pandemic when we've seen misinformation about the coronavirus and subsequently the vaccines swirling on these tech platforms. So both Democrats and Republicans are really upset about the way the companies have handled this. On the Republican side, you have accusations that the tech companies have gone too far. Lawmakers in the Republican Party, Republican governors are extremely upset with how the companies responded after January 6th, making the decision to indefinitely suspend President Donald Trump's accounts from Facebook, Google, Twitter, and that has really amplified the tension on the right and the concerns among Republicans that these companies wield too much power over speech. On the Democratic side, you have the concerns that the companies aren't doing enough. Democrats are looking at, you know, the lagging vaccination numbers in the United States and the impact that the social media ecosystem might be having on that. And they're saying that Facebook, Google, Twitter need to do more to ensure that false information about the vaccine is not being amplified and preventing efforts to end the pandemic. There's also major concerns among the Democrats about just the way that the tech companies handled the information environment in 2020 in general. When you look at the false claims that former President Donald Trump made about the election results, when you look at just the lead up to that and the false claims around mail-in ballots and others, there's really a concern among Democrats that these companies have been far too hands-off and that the effect of that has been harm on society and democratic institutions.
Do you think there should be some sort of federal governing body with the power and the ability to make rules and regulations that protect the consumer?
So that's a big area of debate right now in Washington. So right now, the biggest Silicon Valley watchdog that we have is the Federal Trade Commission, which is more than 100-year-old agency that was set up to protect consumers in a different era. And there's a big debate on Capitol Hill right now about whether or not that agency has the budget, the talent, and just the general resources and authorities that it needs to hold these tech companies to account. There's a big push among Democrats right now to increase the funding for that agency by $1 billion, which would be a massive surge in investment. There's also some debate, though, whether we need a totally different paradigm in Washington. Does there need to be a new agency specifically focused on these tech-related issues, a specific tech regulator who can take on issues that we've talked about related to privacy, competition, and more? And we've seen that model in other countries. And, you know, amid these concerns that there hasn't been enough enforcement of existing consumer protections against these tech giants, there's more and more of a push on Capitol Hill among Democrats to set something like that up. That being said, a lot of Republicans resist the idea of growing government regulation. And so I think that might be a very tough sell in this polarized Congress. One area where we definitely might see some bipartisan consensus is there's a bill that has already passed the Senate and has been introduced in the House that would change the way that companies pay for their filing fees around mergers and reallocate those resources to the Department of Justice and the FTC so that they could better police competition in sectors like tech. And, you know, lawmakers that I've talked to who are supportive of that legislation really think that could make a difference, because right now you have these agencies with limited budgets going up against these companies that have market caps of above $1 trillion and have deep benches of legal expertise that they can draw from. And so we're seeing a really asymmetrical dynamic between the resources, between the regulators and the companies themselves.
We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Kat Zakreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post, on the Recount Daily Pod. Welcome back to the Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from the Recount and iHeartRadio. I'm here with Kat Zakreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post, and we're talking about reining in big tech. So you look at some of the states across the U.S., Texas governor has put his hands on the scale to safeguard free speech. What did Governor Greg Abbott, his recent law, say about, you know, you can't censor people, banning them from social media?
Exactly. So the Texas governor signed a bill into law that effectively would ban tech companies from making content moderation decisions, whether that's blocking or downranking content from people based on their political ideology. And this kind of fits into that theme that we were talking about earlier, that Republicans feel like the tech companies have gone too far in censoring their political viewpoints. And they've asserted without evidence that this is based on political ideology. There's a lot of concern about these tech companies being based in California and how their executives might be moderating content on that basis. And so that has really become a central fundraising message from the Republicans that we've seen in recent months. And we've now seen in Texas this law, but I think we're definitely going to see the tech industry bring legal challenges against this law taking effect. And we saw a similar dynamic play out in Florida earlier this summer. The Florida governor signed into law. It was slightly different, but effectively would have fined the tech companies for banning politicians. It was seen as a direct response to the companies banning Trump. And that law we saw struck down by the courts. The courts ruled that it could not go into effect. Florida is appealing that decision, but we're likely to see a very similar battle play out in Texas. And so I think the big takeaway is, even if these laws don't fly under the First Amendment and the U.S. Constitution, we see the Republicans finding ways, even when they're not in power in Washington, to keep the pressure on the companies on this issue and really push back as they allege that they're being censored.
Well, as you mentioned, misinformation with regards to hot button political and cultural topics like vaccines has really been rampant on social media. Facebook recently announced a new initiative to investigate and to even remove networks of accounts spreading misinformation. But critics are saying, look, this just isn't enough. What do you say?
That's a good point. Yes, we've certainly seen tensions mounting between Democrats and Facebook for the company's handling of vaccine misinformation. But I think, you know, the lawmakers and the Biden administration are in a tricky spot when it comes to this. They can publicly pressure Facebook to do more to take down disinformation. And we've seen them do that. We've seen them hold hearings on the issue. We've seen letters almost weekly from members of Congress pressuring the companies on this. And we've seen, you know, the back and forth between the Biden administration and Facebook on this issue. We had the president of the United States come out and say, Facebook is killing people. He later slightly walked back those comments. But this has been a very public point of tension between Democrats and the companies. I think the question is, what can they actually do to regulate this issue because of the First Amendment in the United States? I think there's a lot of debates right now about how to do that. One thing Democrats are eyeing are changes to Section 230, which is the legal shield, which protects tech companies from lawsuits for content that people share on their platforms. But it's unclear if there's the political will in a tightly divided Congress to actually move on that.
Yeah, political will is important. I want to talk a little bit about data privacy. Companies have been mining your data activity to do everything from just selling new products and services to even influencing your vote. This has got to be a big concern for lawmakers. I know you just mentioned it. It's hard to get them to move quickly, but they have shown a spotlight on big tech companies. It's not just social media. Do you think lawmakers in Washington are going to act on this issue anytime soon?
It's hard to say. When I started at the Post a few years ago in 2018, everyone thought that Washington was about to move on privacy legislation because California's privacy law was going into effect. And for the first time, the tech companies were coming to the table. And, you know, we were seeing bipartisan concern among Republicans and Democrats about this very issue. But there's been major sticking points in those talks. Republicans and Democrats do not agree on a lot of the details, even though they're both concerned about privacy. They have very different concerns about how we should get there as a country. And so Instead, what we've been seeing is a patchwork of different state laws emerge regulating digital privacy. I think it's really important to watch what's happening at the state level. So they're watching what's going on in California, in Colorado, in Virginia, and other states to see how that could potentially be emulated at the federal level. I do think, you know, it's likely we just had this hearing yesterday on Capitol Hill that was an antitrust hearing, but looked at the big data issues and how tech companies entrench their power through the collection of big data. And we're seeing that intersect with the competition debate on the Hill. And then at the same time, I think it's very likely we could see more privacy-specific hearings in the coming months. After covering this for 3 years and seeing so much talk about changing federal privacy law and then seeing little action, I'm skeptical that we'll see something in the next couple of months.
We've got to pause, take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kat Zukreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post on the Recount Daily Pod. Welcome back to the Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from The Recount and iHeartRadio. I'm joined by Kat Zukreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post, and we're talking about reining in big tech. I want to ask you about China. They've been cracking down on tech companies recently. Tell us what they're doing and why they're doing it.
We've seen China take a very different approach to regulating tech than in the United States. It seems that there's particularly a concern around child's safety online, and there's been a big crackdown on the amount of time that children can play video games online. So that's been an interesting development to watch. We've also seen increased antitrust enforcement there as well. And I think it's obviously a very different government system in China where you have different values around free speech and government control. But it's very interesting to see this parallel as we're having a debate about the power of tech's influence in the U.S., that China is taking a much more aggressive approach in some ways and cracking down on these companies.
You know, it's frustrating as you look across the pond and you see Europe. They just seem to be so much more ahead as far as regulating. Maybe, I don't know if you feel that way, but, you know, the European Union's even developed this voluntary code of conduct with many of the largest tech platforms as signatories, which commits these platforms to removing hate speech, to demote disinformation. Is this policy working, and why is the EU so far ahead of the US on this kind of regulation?
I think for a long time, the tech companies in the United States were largely viewed as darlings. If you look back to the time of the Obama administration, these companies were viewed as having a really cozy relationship with those regulators. They were really praised in American culture and seen as drivers of innovation and drivers of economic success and this new economy. And obviously that view and that vision has completely shattered in the past 4 years or so. But I think because for so long they held that role in American society, in a lot of ways, the political will has only more recently shifted in the US to regulate these companies and take on some of these issues. So while the European Union has had laws like GDPR, their privacy regulations on the books for years now, the US is still behind and debating on where they should go next. When you look across the pond to Europe, yes, they have stronger protections for consumers, but they don't have their own equivalent of a Facebook, of a Google, etc. And I think there's a real fear among lawmakers of going too far and, you know, preventing new innovative companies from forming in the U.S.
Senator Amy Klobuchar, along with Senators Richard Blumenthal, Marsha Blackburn, they introduced a bill last month that would change how users download and use apps on both Apple and Google devices. What do you know about this bill? What are the chances of this actually being signed into law?
So this bipartisan bill would specifically look to regulate app stores. And app stores have been in the news a lot lately, particularly because Epic, the maker of the video game Fortnite, has brought an antitrust lawsuit against both Apple and Google, challenging their app store practices. And the judge recently ruled largely in favor of Apple. And in that case, it's likely we'll see appeals. But so this issue of the tech company's grip on the app store and through that, how they control what apps are on your phone and what developers are successful has become really central to a lot of the debates around antitrust on the Hill. But even once we get past that, I think a lot of the momentum will be on broader antitrust reform, like what we've seen out of the House Judiciary Committee. Whereas to me, these app store bills seem more like a messaging bill and adding to the pressure on Apple and Google to change their ways as that becomes a topic of greater scrutiny around the world.
So as you stand back, Kat, and you've got this incredible beat of looking at how Capitol Hill and Washington deals with big tech, what are you watching in the coming year?
So the big things that I'm watching are certainly the debate over antitrust law. I'm watching what is motivating that and how the public pressure that we're seeing from Congress, as we see more hearings, as we see more letters, is impacting just the practices that we see at each of these companies. I think Facebook, Google, Amazon, Apple are all in the spotlight right now. And as we continue to see this barrage of hearings, messaging bills, et cetera, it's really keeping the public spotlight on them. And so even if we don't see Congress pass legislation, I do think it is having an impact on how some of the companies are, like you mentioned, Facebook, changing its policies around misinformation.
Kat Zukreski, technology policy reporter at the Washington Post. Kat, enjoy this conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And now to the look ahead. Here's what else we're watching today. Court is back in session for Britney Spears. She continues her bid to end her conservatorship. Britney's father, Jamie Spears, has controlled her personal and business affairs since 2008. He recently stepped down for that role in August. But the Los Angeles court has not yet formally removed him from the conservatorship. Now the court must decide if it should dissolve it altogether, and if not, who to name as a new conservator. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hear testimony this morning on the Texas abortion ban and the role of the shadow docket. The term shadow docket refers to when the Supreme Court settles a case without hearing oral arguments or issuing a formal opinion. The chair of the Texas Women's Health Caucus and the president of the National Women's Law Center are some of the people testifying before the committee. Members of Congress are taking a swing for charity today. Democrats and Republicans are going head-to-head in the annual congressional baseball game. They're raising money for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Washington, Washington National's Dream Foundation, and other organizations. It's actually the first game since the pandemic started. Have a great day, everyone. I'll see you back tomorrow morning. This is the Recount Daily Pod, a podcast from The Recount and iHeartRadio. Our thanks to Kat Zukreski, technology policy reporter at The Washington Post, for being on the show. And if you like this episode, I hope you'll subscribe to The Recount Daily Pod and do leave us a rating on the Apple Podcast app. I'm your host, Rena Ninen.